Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everyone. It's time to get your Bible, grab a cup of coffee, and join us in Mark chapter 4. And we are in verses 24 through 25. And you were telling me about what you noticed about the things we read in Matthew and are now reading in Mark. What did you just tell me?
Well, in the book of Matthew, the parable of the sower is brought up in the 13th chapter. And in the book of Mark, the parable of the sower is brought up in the 4th chapter. So he's getting to the parable of the sower quicker in this one. He's adding some more facts. So for you guys that are listening to this, go back, you can take right here, go back and read Matthew 13 and put down all the components of that mystery of the kingdom of the heavens, which is now called the mystery of the kingdom of God. And then you can start comparing and making lists on this and actually see what he says together there. And I tell you, if you just put these lists down in a simple way, you'll see some things are added to it and you'll get a better feel for it. That's why he's repeating himself. He wants you to not understand this one. So, because it said, if you understand this one, you will understand all the parables. We read that a little bit while ago in the book of Mark. So understanding the parable of the sower is like a key on a map. It'll let you see things about all of the other parables. So getting these two started is a good way to key up the other parables that are going to come up, because he has quite a few.
Now, you can't compare Matthew with Matthew because you're going to get Matthew.
Yes.
And it takes two to witness, to have two. One thing that two eyes do, they give you depth perception. One thing that two ears do is they give you telemetry. You can tell where things are around you, behind, in front, back or side, because of your ears, you know, the five senses. There's just different things. Your nose will tell you where you are because of the different smells and different places you walk. And so there are some interesting things that happen in the Bible. And it's like when you're going to school and you're in the first grade and you learn a bunch of things. Then you get to the second grade and you spend a little bit of time reviewing, and then you get to second grade stuff. And then when you get to third grade, you spend some time with first grade stuff, and you get better at it. And a little second grade stuff, but you're getting better at it. You're getting more detailed and you're handling it better. And then you're starting to spend a bunch of time in third grade stuff, like in Luke. And then when we get to the fourth grade, you get to John, and that's a whole different thing. We'll tell you about that when we get there. But it starts in a different place. And the first book, the first step starts in the book of in Abraham. It starts right in the middle of the Old Testament time, between Adam, and then there's Enoch, the first 1,000 years, and then Abraham's living right in the middle. Then the third 1,000 years from Abraham is David, and then Jesus comes in the 4,000 year. But right in the middle is Abraham, and that's where the book of Matthew started. Mark doesn't start any place, but when we get to Luke, it's going to go all the way back to Adam. But then we get to John. I'll just give you just a little hint as to what's going to go on here when we look at these four Gospels. John's going to start in the beginning. What? Oh, we'll get to that when we get there. I'm just giving you a teaser as to what we're going to be doing here. It's not going to be something you can second guess.
Right. Another thing I wanted to mention, if you go back and analyze Matthew 13 and Mark 4, when you go to look at what the parable of the sower is, look at the interpretation. That's the information you want, is get the interpretation and compare the interpretations. Don't compare the parables because it'll get all messy there. You'll just see a bunch of parables. But the ones you really want to look at is Jesus' interpretation. He will tell you really clear about each one of those subjects. Just saying that because I went at it and did it the other way before, and I've learned this is the best way to go. So I'm going to tell you, go look at the interpretations.
This has really changed we've done this for 50-some years. Andy, how many years do you, Andy? 45 years. Pretty close to the same. And so we're basically the same grade level, because I was held back a little bit. Anyway, by myself. Anyway, go to the back of the room, Gilbert. Anyway, so we're, I'm by the way, I'm Gilbert from Red Bluff, California.
And I'm Andy from Vancouver, Washington.
Pardon me for not introducing myself early on. But anyway, that's probably one of the reasons I got held back. Anyway, these are different stepping stones. And to understand Mark, you have to understand Matthew. To understand Luke, you got to understand Matthew and Mark. Understand John, you got to understand Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You must always stay a child. Unless you become like one of these, you shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of God. Eventually, when Jesus returns, we'll be like him. We'll mature quickly. But I still think we may be students all of our lives. We might be learning all of our lives. Will a past school will be considered a joint heir with Jesus, but since God is not only eternal, he knows everything, and it says we only know in part. I think we will know a lot. I think we will know more than we can imagine when he returns. But then there might be some other things that he wants us to walk with him in too. So we're invited into his house, and these are the different places we find. We're invited into his house. We're invited into his town. We're invited into his presence. We're invited to sit down, and he will serve us, if you can imagine that. And these are the different views that we get of Jesus. We're in the book of Mark, and now we're going to look at these parables, and we need to look at them the right way. Where are we now, in verses 26 through 29? Is that where we are?
We are in 23.
23 through 25.
And he said to them, "Look to what you hear, and what you measure, it will be measured to you, and shall be added to you. For he who has, to him shall be given, and to he who has not, from him shall be taken away even what he has."
That says something.
Wow.
In other words, we always want to know all these things. I think what it's saying is, be careful, because what you hear, you're going to be responsible for. You're going to measure. I believe you'll be measured, and it'll be and be measured to the degree of now you know it, you're responsible for it. I think that's exactly what that is saying, Andy.
Don't just hear something. It's more than that, because hearing is then attached to measuring.
And you have to understand it. You have to take it to heart.
To be able to measure it.
And then you do it. You have to do it. And then you will be measured. Didn't it say that?
For who has, to him it will be given. And he that has not, from him shall be taken away even what he has.
Yeah. You know, with what measure you measure, it shall be measured to you. But we are to grow. We are not to just learn these things, because knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. We are to Well, it'll be measured to us, but we have to match up to that measure, what has been given to us. We have to not just be hearers of the word, we have to measure up and become doers of the word. I know it doesn't say it exactly that way.
Well, you're going to like the next and. Jesus is fun here. He just said something. We're talking about it. And so I'll read what he said. And he said, so is the kingdom of God. As if a man casts seed upon the earth and sleep and rise night and day, and how the seeds spring up and grow, himself knoweth not how. The earth beareth fruit of itself, first a blade, then an ear, then a full grain in the ear. But when the fruit is ripe, straightway he puts forth the sickle, because the harvest has come.
So we are to grow. We are to hear, and we are to grow into it. We're just not to be knowledge people, and it'll bring forth pride. But we are to do what we hear. Look to what you hear. That is an interesting context, isn't it? Those two.
Yeah. So is the kingdom of God. Moving on.
Okay, next context, 30 through 32.
And he said, how shall we liken the kingdom of God, or in what parable shall we set forth? Like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is grown upon the earth, though it is a lesser seed among all the seeds of those on the earth, yet when it is grown, it grows up and becomes greater than all the herbs, and puts out great branches, so that all the birds of the heaven can lodge under its shadow.
So when it is sown, grows up and becomes greater than all the herbs, and the birds of heaven can lodge under its shadow. Now that is, it almost sounds like Jack and the Beanstalk,
yeah.
in a sense, doesn't it? It sounds supernatural, and I'm not equating Jack and the Beanstalk to it, but it's something is happening there that this grows up even above, so it's the shadow. The birds lodge in its shadow, and it's called a mustard seed. I've never seen a mustard seed at that point, so it's supernaturally bigger. You might explain it with a lot of different physical things, but I think this goes beyond physical. I think this is a supernatural.
Oh, this is
growth.
He said it, the kingdom of God is like.
Yeah.
So this is,
it's the kingdom of the heavens.
Yes.
And we're talking about maybe reaching up into second heaven, third heaven. This easily could even reach maybe third heaven. Isn't this in man's heart and desire since we've been grounded, we fell? You know, Adam and Eve fell. That word fall means you're not as high as you used to be. How far did they fall? Were they able to fly back to God? You know, our life will be 70 years, and if by strength 80, and then we fly away. Come on now. Seven scriptures on how we fly. Seven scriptures in the Bible. And I don't want to say any more than that because they're not here, but don't lock yourself into a physical way of thinking. You ever gone to sleep and flown away from the troubles here on this earth? You ever done that through your sleep, through a deep sleep?
And this kingdom of God is a great kingdom. And that the birds of heaven, he doesn't explain this. He said the birds of heaven lodge under the shadow of the kingdom of God.
Now, are these the birds in the first heaven or second heaven? You know, sometimes, I kid you not, there are some things being said here that he wants us to open our minds to.
And by the way, he said it's a parable.
Yep.
And I didn't see him put an interpretation on that one, so we're just taking a real easy look at it.
Yeah, we'll see. Let's see what he says.
Yeah.
How about the next parable, 33 through 34? And that's the word logon in there. It's talking about he spoke the foundation truths in verse 33.
And with many such parables spake he the word to them as they were able to hear it. And without parable spake he not to them, but privately to his private disciples he expounded all.
Privately to his private.
Wow, that's just saying.
I think when you say it twice, you're saying privately to your private.
And we know previously we read that he went up on a mountain. Remember, he went up on the mountain and he had 12.
Yeah.
And he called them the apostles. And those is the private people that he went privately to and explained. He said he expounded all.
Yeah. All things.
All things.
It's usually the word panta, like panorama. He gave them the whole panorama, the whole vision.
So he told them what this bird was talking about.
Yeah.
He didn't write it right here, but he told them that.
Come on, why isn't it here?
We don't get to know right now.
You know, it could be parts of these answers could be like in a psalm or something or another scripture. As we keep going, we might see things that actually are parallel to this. And more, haven't we seen that year after year, you see more and more revealing of.
We can sing a little piece of a song that's got something. Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They will mount up with wings as their flyers. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, to
gather together in expectation of your return. That word wait means gather together in expectation of your return. It's actually talking about communion. Those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles. Well, eagles is that Old or New Testament?
That's old.
Okay, so we don't know that. I don't know what the Hebrew word is, so I won't say.
But here says bird, and that's a.
So we'll mount up. Yeah. And so I messed up Andy's song. It goes like this.
Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, to wait. Next context, 35 to the end of chapter 4. And on that day, when even was come, he saith to them, let us go over unto the other side. And leaving the crowd, they take him with them as he was in the boat. And other boats were with him. And a great storm of wind ariseth, and the waves beat into the boat, so that the boat was now filling. And himself was in the stern, asleep on a cushion. And they rouse him and say to him, Teacher, carest thou not that we perish? And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, Quiet, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, Why are you fearful? Have ye not yet faith? And they feared great fear and said to one another, Who then is this that both the wind obeys him and the sea?
I'll bet you they were shocked. They'd been around him, and all of a sudden they saw another phenomena, a weather phenomena.
Wind and sea.
Yeah.
Well, that's just bigger than dealing with a person.
It is.
That's dealing with giant things.
Now, this is still the same passage of scriptures. It's all these things, and there he came, and let us go down to the other side, but he's alone with the 12. And that started in verse 4:10. When he was alone, they were they that were about him with the 12 asked him the parables. And then it goes on, and he's still with just the 12 in all these contexts. So we're in chapter 5. The next context is 1 through 20. It's still this scene with them, him together, Jesus alone with his disciples, and they're in, and leaving the crowd. Oh, their crowd must have been in there before 35. So sometimes in 4 that he's alone, the disciples come to him alone.
Verse 4:10.
And then the crowd must have come back someplace in between here. I don't know exactly when that happened. But keep an eye on it. When you go through these and read it, so the crowd had come back.
Because it says in verse 36, and leaving the crowd. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how you know. Okay.
So he left the crowd. He was in the boats, and other boats were with him, and a great storm came. Let's see. He leaving the crowd, they take him along. As he was in the boat, the other boats were with him. So it doesn't really say, but he left the crowd and the people that called him teacher. So disciples, I don't know if it's just the 12, but it's the disciples. Teacher, people that are saying, teach us these things. That's all we know right now in that context. So we're in chapter 5, 1 through 20.
And they came to the other side of the sea into the country of the Gerasenes. And when he was come out of the boat, straightway there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling in the tombs. And no one could any more bind him, no, not with a chain, because he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been rent asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, and no one had strength to tame him. And always, night and day, in the tombs, in the mountains, he was crying out and cutting himself with stones. And seeing Jesus from afar, he ran and worshipped him, and crying out with a loud voice, saith, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God, torment me not. For he said to him, Come forth, unclean spirit, out of the man. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he said to him, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there were on a mountainside a great herd of swine was feeding, and they besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And he gave them leave. And the unclean spirits came out and entered into the swine, and the herd rushed down the steep into the sea, about 2,000, and they were drowned in the sea. And they that fed them fled and reported it to the city and in the country, and they came to see what it was and had come to pass. And they come to Jesus, and behold, the demoniac sitting, clothed and in his right mind, him that had the legion, and they were afraid. And when they saw it, it rehearsed to them how it befell the demoniac and concerning the wise. And they began to beseech him to depart from their borders. And as he was entering into the boat, and with whom demoniac besought him that he might be with him. And he suffered him not, but says to him, Go to thy house and into your own, and report to them how great things the Lord has done for thee. And he had mercy on thee. And he went away and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all marveled.
So we know by this time that it's reported in the city, and they came out to see him as a result of this person being, again, freed from demons cast out of him. So, you know, sometimes, again, it's you have to just keep track of it. All this explanation to his disciples was with the 12. They came alone, and the 12 asked him about the mysteries, and he spoke openly to them. And then the next day he comes to the other side, and he said to them, Let us go to the other side. And leaving the crowd, he take him. And then all of a sudden he goes into the city, and the city comes out to see him. So other than explaining the parables, he is in and out of the crowd with his disciples. So verse 21, to the end of the chapter.
And two, this is something that happened. He's been teaching them, but this is something that happened to Jesus. This person with this unclean spirits named Legion came at him, and Jesus dealt with that situation. Part of this teaching is he's telling the situation that's going on, and then we're moving along. And when Jesus has crossed over again in the boat into the other side, a great crowd was gathered unto him, and he was by the sea. And one of the synagogue rulers cometh, Jairus by name, and seeing him, falls at his feet and beseeches him much, saying, "My little daughter is at death's point."
Whoa, this is getting rare because very few of the religious leaders came to him. Now here is the synagogue ruler.
And his daughter was dying, and he came for his help.
This is unusual. So there are people that are very sincere, but they're just caught up in this world. But there are some sincere, believing...
Well, there's one right there.
Clergy.
Yes. So we can't say 100% of everything, but here's one right here.
I don't see a multitude of them.
No.
This is the first time I've really seen this clearly in the book of Mark.
We got one.
Did we see any in Matthew? They came to him alone. That'll be later.
Yes, I don't remember, but we could look backwards at that. Yeah. But so far, everything that's come from the synagogue, from the temple or Pharisees or anybody like that, they're always challenging him, not liking what he's doing.
Setting their jaw.
And everybody that I can remember in Matthew was the same way.
And they didn't kill him. But they got the government to hang him on the cross.
Right. You mean all the other ones, yeah.
Right.
And here's a one out of how many so far?
But they were the one that coerced Pilate to hang him on the cross.
Well, sure.
Otherwise we're gonna tell Caesar on you. That's what they were saying, weren't they? And they pinned him in a corner. The religious people did, but this is the first man, Jairus, that actually went against the tide because it was his daughter, my little daughter.
"I pray that thou come and lay hands on her, that she may be made whole and live." And he went with him, and a great crowd followed him, and they thronged him. And a woman who had an issue of blood 12 years... and had suffered many things of many healers, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse, having heard the things concerning Jesus, came in the crowd behind and touched his garment. For she said, "If I touch but his garments, I shall be made whole." And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she knew in her body that she was healed of the scourge.
We didn't finish this context, but our time has run out. Thank you for joining us. And until we meet again, may God lead you into all truth.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. Or write to him, Gilbert and Friends, P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. That's P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. Or call us at 360-600-6726. That's 360-600-6726. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible because it is written, "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God."